Rodgers in trouble. Does he have a vintage moment in him? In the end zone, it is caught for the win.
Pressure, pass is picked off, and who is it? Big B.J. Raji for the touchdown.
Welcome back to another episode of Packs What She Said podcast. I am one of your hosts, Maggie Loney. Today I am joined once again by Perry Goldstein, and we have another very special guest, the godfather of the Green Bay Packers. I was going to say, like, you love him or you hate him, but you know, I guess that makes you godfather.
That's very accurate.
It's Aaron Nagler, in case you couldn't already guess. Aaron Nagler's here. Hi, Aaron.
Hello. Thanks for having me on Packs What She Said. I'm incredibly honored and flattered that you asked me to be on, considering my polarizing nature. It's nice of you to drive half of your audience away.
Yeah, our followers are going to drop from 300 to like 80, but it's fine. It's, you know.
Packs What She Said wouldn't exist without you, Aaron, so it's only fair.
I'm only a caretaker. You guys are the stars.
Jersey Al, I have to also give credit to Jersey Al.
Shout out Jersey Al.
Yeah, he's been really nice helping me manage my high-stress environment of moving an entire university online and missing Cheesehead TV deadlines. So, Jersey Al, appreciate it. But today, because no one wants to talk about COVID-19, that is depressing as hell. Although, great joke about Perry. If you could see her right now, she's got her microphone on with her headset, and she's doing the Britney Spears thing. And, you know, you missed it, but I said her loneliness is killing her because, you know, quarantine.
Yeah.
You had to be there. You really had to be there. But we're here today.
I liked her coworkers roasting her, saying how many kills you got, because she does look kind of like she's playing like.
But she's not holding Mountain Dew. So
you know what? I feel like I look like a helicopter pilot, so I'm gonna go with that.
Hey, whatever you need to tell yourself, Perry. Whatever you need to tell yourself.
That's actually honestly okay. This is a really good segue because today we're supposed to talk about all of the moves around the NFL. So let's start with a former Packers helicopter pilot, Jimmy Graham, to the Chicago Bears. Let's talk about it.
I mean, good for him. He got that money. I don't know. Him, who is he going to be catching passes from now? Nick Foles? That's an interesting duo to me. We played two games against them, and he barely did anything, and then they decided they want him, so I don't know. I'm excited for him because I want him to like go and be happy and make money and do well. But
go and be happy.
But I hope he doesn't play well. He probably won't.
Are we convinced that Nick Foles is the starter? Is my question.
Yes, 1,000,000%. You don't make that trade and pay him the money without bringing him in to start. There's zero question. I mean, they'll sell it as a competition, but there's no way he's not starting.
Did the Bears get better at quarterback? That's my thoughts.
Maybe, kind of, a little bit.
It depends what Nick Foles you're getting. If you're getting Super Bowl Nick Foles, yeah, hell yeah. But if you're getting, you know, average backup quarterback Nick Foles, probably not.
I will say, though, you know, Nagy comes out of the system with Andy Reid, etc. He is very Doug Peterson-esque in the sense that he will do everything he can to make his quarterback successful. Obviously, it was a tough road to hoe with Mitch Trubisky, but I think Nagy will look much better as a coach and play caller with Foles at the helm. Zero question there.
If the Bears pull any type of Philly special and call it like the Chicago special or like the deep dish or something, I'm, you know,
the deep
I love it. I don't know. I'm going to lose it. So I can't have another. Dish.
Maggie was pulling him out the deep early in the podcast. I like it.
Nick Foles doesn't strike fear into my heart. Like, I'm excited to watch Za'Darius Smith run through him.
Yes, correct.
Jimmy Graham blocking Za'Darius
Smith. Oh, now you're talking.
Oof.
Now you're talking.
But, I mean, I love me some Jimmy Graham. I think he's a cool guy. But, you know, that's a lot of money. A lot of money. But maybe, you know what, maybe he'll have like a career resurgence in Chicago because that's what a lot of...
Come on. No, he won't. This is the thing. Jimmy Graham has now parlayed his friendship with two people into multi-millions of dollars when he was well past done. First, his friendship with Aaron Rodgers got him paid by the Packers and probably kept around for a year longer than Brian Gutekunst would have if he hadn't been so tight with the QB. So then finally Gutekunst comes to his senses, cuts the guy with the year remaining, and then Ryan Pace, from their time back in New Orleans, is like, hey, remember when we had that argument slash fight slash near legal situation where you were going to sue the league and or the PA was going to come to your defense about the franchise tag and how we wanted to pay you at the tight end level, but you were like, hey, no, I'm a wide receiver because I split out so much, blah, blah, blah. Hey, about all that, let me give you my $9 million guaranteed. Come on. Ryan Pace and Aaron Rodgers have, between the two of them, ensured that Jimmy Graham continues to get paid well past his time to be effective in the NFL.
If he couldn't have his resurgence with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron threw him the ball a lot. Like, he dropped passes. Like, he was not good. If you can't
do it. Zeroed in on the kid. You notice how the coaching staff, like, literally reduced his snaps as the second half of the year went on? Because they were like, if we put Jimmy out there, he's going to throw it to him no matter what. So they had to, like, get him off the field.
Yeah, he's not going to do it in Chicago. And I'm sure I'm calling one more year retirement.
I legitimately thought there was a very strong possibility he retired this season. And then somebody offered him $16 million. And he said, you know what? I can do it. I can play.
Totally agree. Yep. I think that cryptic tweet he sent out kind of hinted at retirement. And then Ryan Pace was like, I'll give you $9 million. Okay, I'll play again.
Exactly. Yeah, he's like, how much? He's like, I'll lace him up and run around for $16 million. I can do that.
Run, in quotes.
Oh, snaps pro.
Shade.
Okay, but there was a tight end that was brought back, and we're excited about it.
Big Dog.
Big Dog.
Big Dog!
Yeah, no, Big Dog has to get at least, like, 4 touchdowns this season. He's gotta. If we only brought him back to be a blocker.
Hold on. 4 touchdowns?
One every quarter of the season.
It took all of the earth and the stars aligning and Aaron Rodgers escaping the grasp of a crashing down defensive player on a bootleg. And then in a perfectly placed pass into the outstretched fingertips of Big Dog on a snowy evening here in New York for him to get 1 touchdown.
How about 2 touchdowns? Can we agree on 2?
2, I'm fine. 2, I'm all
I watched fine. That touchdown in real life. It was beautiful.
You were there. I know.
Yeah. He's awesome. And the run game.
I met right before this went live, and Dad was good peeps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's Aaron Jones kind of needs Mercedes, you know? Opens up those holes for him.
Big time on those outside zone stretch plays. Absolutely.
And it was a good deal, I think. It was a nice team-friendly deal, one more year. It was exactly what I envisioned.
Totally in. Totally
down. Okay, this is not necessarily what we agreed to talk about then, but if your tight end...
Breaking news. Breaking news because we're on the pod.
Why?
Oh, yeah?
Serious. The Packers have canceled the tailgate tour, just so you know.
Oh, no. They didn't even postpone it? I guess they can't, really.
No. When are they going to do it?
Dude, that was going to be such a good one, too, though, with all the Super Bowl players.
Super Bowl dudes. That's rough.
When are they doing the Green Bay Hall of Fame induction?
They're not. They've pushed it back indefinitely.
No.
So
do you think they'll do, like, a big one next year with 4 instead of that's 2, maybe?
I think that's a possibility. And I don't know if it's it's still not completely canceled, but most likely it will be. Everything's getting pushed back / canceled, but... Yeah, that sucks because it would have been great to watch Wood and Al Harris going by themselves together. But yeah, I got to think that they would, if they do push it back to next year, that they would bring in some other guys as well.
They should do it like in August and tie it into family night, assuming August is
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
That would be awesome. I'm flying up for that.
Hell yeah.
So
cool. Yeah, I've been rewatching the 2010 season in my quarantine life, and I'm re-falling in love with Woodson.
Oh, hell yes.
There's a whole lot to fall in love with.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Love it.
All right, so Maggie. Anyway,
sorry to derail us with the breaking news.
Well, here, the thing is that there's someone that we have to talk about because Maggie is, first of all, pumped, and second of all, must feel very vindicated that she called this. So you want to talk about your boy?
Kirksey. Yeah, hell yeah.
See, people have already started tweeting me about, does Za'Darius Smith have anything to worry about? Hold up, guys.
Wait, what?
Because I would die for Za'Darius Smith. And the coach, and Jamal Williams. Probably Aaron Rodgers. Probably. So, so Christian Kirksey, he is very good when he's healthy. So I think that the contract that he got, I mean, I said it on Twitter. I think Russ Ball is like a wizard and a genius and some type of madman, maybe a mathematician. But the contracts he's able to put together that are very like low risk, high reward contracts, right, he does it better than anyone in the league. And the deals that he got with Kirksey and the other player we'll talk about is just, it's one of those things where it's like, obviously you hope that he stays healthy, because if he does, he's likely going to be your every down guy in the middle of the field.
And if you're, he doesn't, you're banking completely screwed, but right, as it stands, oh, totally, right now.
Oh, totally. But what they're paying on the chance that, you know, he had a couple injury seasons and now he's back to his prime, which was a damn good player, for $2 million base. I mean, you would take that trade any day of the week, especially with the massive splashes they made in 2019. I mean, we didn't think that a lot of movement was possible in 2020, and he already has come in and basically shored up two players that were two positions that were question marks.
And they're also, go ahead. There also is an in-between. Like, he doesn't have to be his prime, but if he can just stay healthy and be solid, then he lives up. You know, they paid him a contract for a solid every-down player, and if he can just stay healthy,
do that,
play,
right?
Do that, totally. It's a win. It's a win. Anything more than that, then we severely underpaid an awesome player. So, and watching some of the other, what some of the other teams are doing, it just makes me appreciate our front office that much more. They just make smart decisions.
I appreciate them, but like, they were kind of, and this is something I've talked about in my chats every day. It's not like last year they had all sorts of room. This year they don't. So right, it makes practical, logical sense to make the moves they've made so far. Now, I didn't expect them to come out and be irresponsible. I did wonder if Gutekunst would maybe shed some contracts, maybe make some adjustments salary-wise to any of the guys, whether it's Corey Linsley, Lane Taylor, or whoever, where there is kind of wiggle room in those contracts to kind of convert bonuses, etc. And so far, he has been very Ted Thompson in his approach.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, not at all. I just, but that's the thing. Like, we don't know. You know, when the GM is only 2 years into his tenure, you can't, last year he had a ton of room, so he spent the money, etc. Right. You're still kind of feeling out what kind of operator is he, right? It's like, how is he, because he very easily could slash and burn guys, like move on from guys, and he still might. Mm-hmm. And between the three of us and whoever's listening, I tend to think that's how Elliot Wolf would have operated. I think Elliot would have been much more like his father, whereas with Brian, I think he's much more like Ted.
Yeah, so then, I mean, if you think about, obviously, the other counterpart that was signed, Rick Wagner, former Badger. I know a lot of Badger fans. You gave up Iowa, but you got your Wisconsin player that you're always clamoring for. So there's some give and take here. But another low-risk signing that fills an immediate need. So I guess then my question to both of you is, if we're thinking about the Packers draft, and I kind of had, at least in the first four picks, dependent on order, wide receiver, tackle, inside linebacker, interior defensive line. Those, to me, were like the most pressing needs. Do you think Christian Kirksey and the Rick Wagner signings change any of that? Or do you think that it's like, here's a stopgap for 1 or 2 years while we develop the next guy?
No, I think we still need to draft all four of those. And especially because we didn't sign a defensive lineman, not that we might not, but we don't have that much space, and those guys are getting paid monstrous contracts that we're not going to give them. I almost see us going that route early, but also the Rick Wagner signing feels like, okay, we got this guy for a year. We got to re-sign, you know, Bulaga's successor. So maybe offensive tackle is something we do really early also. But then if Kenneth Murray is falling to 30, I want us to take Kenneth Murray. So I don't think that it's really changed any of the draft for me.
Kenneth Murray, no matter what, man. Kenneth Murray all the way.
I don't think it's changed our needs. I do think that we might take a wide receiver a little bit later now because it's so there are so many to choose from and our needs in those other positions are still just as glaring to me. Like, yes, Christian Kirksey and Rick Wagner fill some level of hole, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like we've gotten any better.
No, but it gives them flexibility in the sense that however the draft plays out, whether one position falls to them or the other, they're able to take it without reaching for need. You know what I mean? Because, okay, fine. If a backer falls, then they take him. You know, they're okay. They got somebody who can play right tackle in Wagner. If a tackle falls and say, but James Jones from Houston is my current crush at that position, say they take him at 30. Well, now he can compete with Wagner, but you've got Kirksey to play inside backer and whoever else they bring along slash later in the draft, maybe, and they're not done. You know, it's still only day two of free agency. They could still make signings. It just gives you the flexibility in the draft not to have to like put pressure on the GM to you've got to get this position. You know what I mean? Like it enables you to keep your options open.
Like not make a reach and do something stupid because you're so needy.
Precisely.
To me, Rick Wagner feels very much like a Lane Taylor situation where you're paying him such a small contract that if somebody like Josh Jones does fall to you at pick 30, he's likely the starter by the end of the year. Like if you have a guy that can develop as quickly as an Elgton Jenkins did, and then Rick Wagner becomes your Jared Valdir, where you have a backup swing tackle that is vital when you look at the depth at the offensive line, you know, the last couple seasons. So I'm with you there. I don't necessarily think that the Packers are done. I kind of want to talk about the rest of the NFC North because it's
a dumpster fire. Oh, sorry.
That bye-bye. And it also has traumatized me just slightly.
Michael Pierce, RIP.
My heart hurts. My heart hurts so bad.
They paid him so much money.
They did. For a run-stuffing nose tackle, that is an obscene amount of money. But, like, if the Packers paid him, I'd probably be able to justify it somehow in my mind.
Well, that's
probably
the thing.
Be like, that's fine.
You're going to get to those Vikings games this year, and Aaron Jones is going to run into him like a brick and wall, and you're going to be like, oh, he's really good.
The Vikings lost so many players, though. I mean, what is the Vikings defense now, you know? So,
again, you look at their secondary last year, and yeah, is that a bad idea? You know what I mean? Like, they were toast in the secondary last year. So it makes sense to lose most of that.
What I need to know is when are the Vikings going to spend money on their offensive line? Because that is the most glaring issue that I think that entire freaking team has.
They keep extending Kirk, and all he's going to do is just keep getting sacked.
All right. Hey, I'm fine with it if it keeps meaning like games that we saw on Christmas Eve night last year where Za'Darius is just like cutting through it like a knife through butter. I'm all in on that.
Yeah, I agree. So I think that we can all kind of agree that the rest of the NFC North is getting worse. It's like, what are you doing? The Packers are treading water and somehow they still come out the winners of free agency.
I'm in on that. The Lions are determined to get worse. I mean, the Lions are like, how can we get rid of all of our best players? I mean, Darius Slay is by far and away their best player on defense. And, you know, Patricia couldn't wait to get rid of him. I mean, I'm here for it.
All he's doing is bringing ex-Patriots players to come play for him.
A lot of that. A whole lot of that. Yep. Love it.
So I know that there were some guys that we really liked that went to other teams. Was there anyone that you guys are upset about, like losing Nick Kwiatkowski or Corey Littleton, both of them going to the Raiders? Like anyone that you were like, shoot, besides Michael Pierce, like wish we got him?
It was Michael Pierce. But
no, I mean, I wanted Pierce, but I, you know, for what he was paid, it's like, yeah, okay, I understand it.
Right.
Kwiatkowski was the one I really wanted. Like, I was really hoping they would find a way to work it. But from what I heard, I talked to his agent, actually, and after the end of the day, and I was like, oh, it's a good deal for Nick. Wish the Packers would have jumped on it. And he was like, well, the Packers were like first out of the gate on Kirksey. So I think the Kirksey thing was, you know, what was their priority. And most likely because he came at a cheaper price tag And they've got to, you know, they can't spend big money because they got a line of guys that they got to pay. So I get it, but I really wish they would have found a way to make it work.
Kwiatkowski got paid too. I mean, I think Spatrak had him getting like half of that. So anytime these guys, you know, the Kirksey deal, assuming Kirksey plays, I think even honestly, like half the season, what he get paid compared to everyone else now at the inside linebacker position is going to look like a bargain.
Oh yeah. So, especially next year when the cap jumps in a big way because of the new, whatever the new media deals end up being, that, you know, the cap is going to skyrocket and everyone's going to, I mean, not everyone, but most people are going to look like a bargain at that point.
Yeah. Should we talk about Tom Brady? Do we have to?
I don't want to. I'm over it. I'm sorry. I don't care. He's 43. He's going to play for the Bucks. Like, okay. I don't know. We're going to have to play them this season, but.
But that's the hook, right? The Rodgers versus Brady.
Oh, angle. Watch that some primetime game.
Of course it. Oh, of course it will be.
Can it not be week one? Because I'm supposed to go to that game. No chance.
They won't make it week one.
Nah.
No chance.
All right. I'm fine with it.
I'm excited to watch Tom Brady be 43, old, and suck. It's going to be great.
Dude, that offense was so good in 2019, and granted it was live or die by famous Jameis and his arm and whether or not he throws an interception, but you have Chris Godwin, you have Mike Evans. Theoretically, let's say the Bucks pick up somebody like Todd Gurley as a pass catching back, which would just be dynamite, and then it's Tom Brady.
100-year-old Tom Brady. And look, I'm excited to watch him. I think he's going to be productive, but there's going to be a point midway through the year, some nationally televised game, where the entire country is going to be watching and saying collectively, oh my God, Tom Brady is old. It's going to happen. It is going to happen.
And it doesn't diminish. Minnesota.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. It doesn't diminish his career at all. No, like, I understand him wanting to continue to play. Of course. He's getting $30 million. Like, I'll take that in 1 year. But I mean, it's going to be hard to watch.
Yeah. It makes sense for the Bucks. They're you know, all of a sudden they're selling season tickets in a way they never have before. I mean, you watch any Bucks game, there's always tons of empty seats, and that'll stop for a little bit. And,
I do want to talk about some of the smaller guys smaller deals the Packers have done because we've
literally little men.
Alan Lazard, not little. like we tendered all our restricted free agents and then we signed Will Redmond today.
Yes, they did.
And so we kept a few guys in house. I think some Packers fans were surprised by Jake Kumerow. I'm personally excited about it.
But I was a little surprised by it. And I absolutely love Kumerow, but I was a bit surprised that they brought him back.
To me, Kumerow is this year's Geronimo Allison, player that theoretically it's a gamble. Like, I was as high on Geronimo Allison as they come. Yeah, it's a low-cost gamble. I don't think that he'll be back, but maybe.
He'll have the chance to compete, though. He'll have the chance. If he comes into camp and lights it up, which he has done in the past, the last couple of years, then maybe he has a chance to stick. I guess it really will depend on who and what they draft and the pedigree there and how they perform in training camp.
Do you think we potentially still sign an offensive weapon in free agency? I mean, none of the wide receivers have really gone, so maybe their price tag goes down.
It has to make a lot of sense financially. Like, I can't imagine they sign anybody to anything significant, but if there's somebody out there who was hoping to get a payday, who has not so far and doesn't look like he's going to, and they pitch him on, come play with Aaron Rodgers for a year, then there's a possibility. I know that there's been reporting around Delanie Walker. I think that makes a lot of sense. I've put it out there. I really like the idea of Taylor Gabriel. I think the longer he sticks out there, there's a chance there. But you know, for the most part, I think it's going to be picking over what's left over. I don't think they're going to go out and make some big splash signing.
You know who does want to come play with Aaron Rodgers is Eric Ebron.
He would love
to come play with Aaron Rodgers, and I am all about it. And if you read my story what day is today? That will have already come out by the time you're listening to this.
Literally no one knows what day it is.
Then we'll talk about Eric Ebron on GSAT TV. So come read that.
There you go.
I like it.
Well done.
I like it.
Get paid the big bucks.
Wait, we're paying you? I gotta tell Corey to stop that. Okay. Very good.
Who else? Let's talk about DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs.
Oh my God. Okay. First of all, is Bill O'Brien okay? Like, should we go test him? Is he ill? Like,
that's gonna be my ringtone. What about DeAndre Hopkins? And Perry going, oh my God.
That man is such an incredible player. I don't know how. Not okay. Maybe you trade him, but to get nothing in return, I'm sorry.
They got running.
He is so washed. Did you watch? He didn't even play.
I'm kidding.
It honestly, it makes me, I have no connection to the Texans. Like, I don't know why I'm getting so worked up about it.
You're so upset.
Very personal for you.
Imagine if we traded Devontae for David Johnson and a second round pick. Like, that's insulting.
Yeah,
it's insulting. I'm sorry. That guy and poor Deshaun. I think it's, I love Deshaun.
Did you see the tweet where, what's his name? One of the trainers who's on Twitter a lot, was it Quincy Avery, was with him, was literally with Deshaun. They were working out, and he had a video of, like, when the news hits, and it was just a real quick clip of Deshaun looking at his phone and then looking at the camera. That was hilarious. It was so good.
See, and the problem is, like, I love Randall Cobb, but it's like, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. We got you Randall Cobb. So you lost DeAndre Hopkins, but here is Randall Cobb.
They're two completely different players.
It's unfair to Randall because he's not supposed to be a replacement, but everybody will look at it like that because of the timing of the signing. But it's not, you know, it's like Randall will be very good for the Texans and he'll be very good for Deshaun Watson because there's going to be a lot of plays where things break down and Randall is so good at, like, finding space in the zone, making himself available to the QB when things break down, as Aaron Rodgers will tell you. So I love that signing for the Texans. It's just that it came in the immediate aftermath of this ridiculous trade.
If they had signed Randall before, or like, if they hadn't traded DeAndre, everyone would be like, oh, that's such a nice
loading, they're loading up. You know, it would have been like, oh, what a great weapon. You know?
And they paid the man. Like, good for Randall. Yeah, really, I love that for him. But and then on
that guy, got to get those diapers.
Yeah, his babies are cute. I will say that. But on the flip side, for Diggs, I mean, the Bills gave up a lot.
Oh yeah,
That's the one move by anybody in the North this offseason so far that has looked really good. Is the Vikings shipping off a perennially upset wide receiver for a haul? I mean, they got a absolute haul. I'm not going to say it evens things out for the Herschel Walker trade, but it's very much well done on their part.
I thought it was a smart move because they're so strapped for cap space, and now they have all these draft picks that they can go and potentially draft
a bunch
of rookies who they don't need to pay. But, you know, knowing the Vikings, they'll probably draft, like, dumb players, and that's fine. I can't say I'm upset that we don't have to play Diggs anymore. It's fine. Bye. I think he's a drama queen, and I think he's not going to enjoy Buffalo, but...
No. I mean, people say that about players and, like, you know, he's a drama queen, whatever. But, you know, if you were a wide receiver and you were playing with Kirk Cousins, wouldn't you be a little bit of a drama queen? I might be. I don't know. That's just me.
I'm not saying I think he's wrong in the way he's acting. I'd probably be pretty upset about it too. But, you know, I feel like you're still at your job and you still have to be a professional. And sometimes
I hung up on my coworker today. So I'm not the person to talk to about being professional.
I don't know what you're talking about right now, Perry Goldstein. I don't know what you are talking about. It's
whatever.
Twitter. It's fun. God forbid a man has a little personality.
Well, I hope that the Bills take over the AFC East and the Pats dynasty's over. That's all.
That's what I'm talking about. Now you're talking sense.
That's fair. But all I have to say is that if sacrificing Michael Pierce to the Vikings gods means that I have a chance at Ross Blacklock and the Vikings don't nab him a couple picks in front of the Packers, then okay. I'm sorry, Michael Pierce, that I had to sacrifice you to the Vikings gods, but my little post-it, and I'll take a picture of it and post it on Twitter when we're done here, says Ross Blacklock or bust.
Oh, no. Here we go. Yeah. We all have those guys, right? We all have those guys. It's this guy or nothing, and then it's usually nothing.
My guys are always just 300 pounds, so. My husband is so small. None of it makes sense.
That's such a soundbite. That's amazing. I'm totally clipping that. That's incredible. All of it. 300-pound guy's part to the husband being small part. That's amazing. All of
He's
it.
Like 160. You know, it's fine.
Anybody that listens knows Maggie loves the big guys. Like, we've said that a million times.
Harry always turns it into something it's not, and then I get tweets about it.
Or maybe it's subliminal there, Maggie. Maybe the universe is trying to tell you something. I don't know. We're here for you. Support your
DJ Raji calls me, I'm answering the phone, but since he doesn't have my phone number yet,
there's not
much I can do. Yep. A lot of ball game left.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't think my husband listens to this, so it's fine.
I mean, well, he's a Browns fan, isn't he? He's a Browns fan, right? Yeah. I hope he doesn't listen to this. That would be upsetting.
Yeah, but it's his wife's work. He should want to, like, relish it.
Come on. I don't want to listen. My significant other could work for, you know, whatever. I'm not going to go listen to their inner workings. I don't care. Like, I support him not listening to this podcast.
All right, I'll tell him. When he brings me Animal Crossing, I'll tell him.
Yeah, there you go.
He provides great Twitter content, I will say. He's very good with the comments.
Such an idiot. And when you said you guys are interchangeable, I was like, first of all.
Okay, I did not say that. I said sometimes. Mark,
now you're in trouble, Fairy. Here comes the walk back.
No, I have evidence of what I said. And it said, sometimes I see a tweet that Mark tweets, and I laugh because I thought it was Maggie, and then I look, and it's Mark.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because you're both M. Loney.
Yeah. That got real confusing at the wedding. Just everything was ML, and it's like, oh, shit. Am I allowed to keep a swear in the Packs What She Said podcast? Because I have to trim these out. Come on. I'm just checking. All right. Who else should we talk about? Should we talk about Phillip Rivers?
Why?
He's
going to have his year. He's going to get paid. They'll draft someone, and that'll be the end of it.
Can we talk about moves around the NFL?
Can we talk about how sad David Bakhtiari is right now? He lost his boy. I just saw a tweet from him that said, so ugh, Clay to GB, anyone? He misses his friends.
This is the life. This is what happens. If you're really good and you get stuck, you know, playing for the same team your entire career, it's not a bad thing, but then everybody else ends up leaving.
So you don't think that we could have given Bulaga a similar contract? Not that we would want to, maybe, but I didn't think he got paid the same as other guys who are not as good players as him.
I thought you were going to say who are worse.
Way worse. I don't know. I feel like we could have done it if we wanted to.
Yeah. It's time. It's always, you know, it's time. You got to move forward. Can't be looking back. It's time.
I feel like signing Bulaga would have disabled you from signing other people. So if Packers fans want a guy like Eric Ebron, they would have had to sacrifice Bulaga. That was like the contract you're making. You could have Taylor Gabriel, Christian Kirksey, and Rick Wagner for the price of a Brian Bulaga. So I think that's the trade-off you have
exactly.
to make. Yeah.
Precisely what they were thinking. No doubt.
I definitely understand that. It's tough watching guys like that walk, though. It is. Especially when they can still play. Yep. You know?
No question.
Should we talk about former Packers? The Browns got rid of Morgan Burnett. The Rams got rid of Clay Matthews. Demaryius Randall and HaHa Clinton Dix, as of recording, are still free agents.
Okay.
Let's chat about
none
it.
Of that. Okay.
None of that. Got.
None of that is a surprise. Absolutely none of it. Yeah. I mean, Morgan hurt his Achilles at the end of the year and is reaching the end. Demaryius, not a surprise. Nobody wants to deal with him. You know, Clay, I know, like you said, Bakhtiari's like pining for it, and I'm sure Packers fans will wish for it, but I don't see that happening. The whole reason they moved on because A, they wanted to get younger and more explosive and more productive outside, but he doesn't want to play inside, and that's where their need is. So it's all well and good for everyone to say, oh, yeah, bring him back and play him inside. Yeah, but he doesn't want to play inside. So that's an issue. And also, he's not going to come back to play a position he doesn't want to play on a dirt cheap veteran minimum contract, which is what you'd need to sign him for.
And he said last season he'd come back and play for less money, and we said, nope, no thank you, goodbye. Correct. So why would he come back now?
And Rashawn Gary's wearing his jersey number.
Oh, my gosh, how fun would that be?
Body's not cold yet.
Body ain't cold.
Yeah, but we haven't heard anything about Tremont yet.
A lot of ball game left.
I know.
We're so early. Here's the problem with us all being shut in here now with quarantine and whatever. It was like we spend all day online because that's literally all we can do to connect to anything other than ourselves. And so every hour feels like a day. And like people ask, what day is it? Because it feels like it's been 3 weeks and it's been 2 days. So it's like, it's fine. Relax. There's a lot of ball game left. Tremont could be back. I tend to think they're going to try and move on, as they should. But it would make sense. We could end up, finishing this call right here now and then have an alert come on that they've re-signed him. So just take a breath. It could happen still.
I know.
Carrie needs that for her quarantine self. She needs Tremont back.
Exactly. Precisely. So does Cor. Don't get Banky started. Oh, my God.
He can still play.
I agree.
So well. I see them doing another, like, probably a little more money than Mercedes Lewis, but a similar situation.
Yeah, totally agree.
I'll take Tremont Williams, the DB coach, any day of the week, honestly.
Yeah.
If he ever decides to hang up his cleats and wants to come coach, I'm here for it.
The coach life, man, that's tough, though.
The other thing with Tremont for me is that, like, tight end is already a need for us. You know, if we hadn't brought back Mercedes Lewis, I think we would have looked elsewhere regardless. But
they still might.
They still might, of course. But Tremont leaving, I think, creates another hole. Like, maybe we'll draft a corner later in the draft.
I think they might draft somebody, but the real question is what is their evaluation/expectation for, say, a guy like Kadar Holman, who looked great in camp, looked like a really promising man corner, but just never played during the season. So what do they know? Like, what's their evaluation? And I think that's kind of the turning point for Tremont is, like, if they think, okay, this guy's ready to take a step, then I doubt Tremont is back. But if they get together, personnel people, and think and say, we got to cover ourselves here because I don't know if he's ready to take that step, then Tremont's probably back. And that's the big unknown sitting on the outside when it comes to the corner position.
I would add to that, too, that Kevin King is, like, the biggest question mark going into the 2021 season. Like, he's about to be a free agent. Yep. He has one more year. If they are expecting to pay him, Tremont probably is not coming back, and they're going to develop somebody behind King and Jair because they know that those are their shutdown corners for the foreseeable future. But if King is still a question mark, then somebody like Tremont is like, sure, come on in. We'll draft somebody, and then King becomes that bubble guy again. So so the 2021 free agency class to me is kind of more interesting than the 2020 class because you have guys like Aaron Jones, Dave Bakhtiari, Corey Lindsley, Kevin King. And it's fair to say that maybe half those guys don't come back. So it's where do the Packers prioritize?
And I think that because we were so healthy, and it's a good thing that we were healthy, I would never like want anyone to get hurt, but we weren't able to see what those backup guys could do on the field. So we have no idea.
Really good point, Perry, because that in years past, you've gotten those guys on the field, right? I mean, we've gotten down to Darius Gunter covering Julio Jones in an NFC Championship game levels where we've seen way more of those guys than we probably wanted to, but at least you saw them, right? Whereas a guy, like I mentioned, like Kadar Holman, never saw the field. He just never got on it. So we don't know what they have there. I think that's a really good point, and you don't wish for injury, but a lot of times injury takes care of things even before the season starts. Like sometimes in camp, in preseason, you'll see injuries kind of sort depth charts out. So, I do think that plays a big part into it.
Yeah. I think that my favorite position fill-in was the Troy Guyon on the offensive line.
Oh, my God.
In that game. We need a big guy. Just go. Any big drive. Man, run.
Down there in Atlanta. That was tough. That was tough. Yeah, I remember I was there and, like, talking to the guys afterwards. Obviously, it was a very somber thing, but it was hard not to recognize the absurdity of the situation, because it was representative of how banged up that team was. The idea that they had to throw a defensive tackle in at guard. They had this guy who was the fourth corner, basically covering the best wide receiver in the league. You know, it was just, yeah, that was a tough night.
Yes.
Any other free agents that anybody wants to address? Any free agent moves? Any current free agents that anybody is, you know, pining for to come to Green Bay?
All my guys got taken, but I have been thinking a lot about what it means that we haven't done some things. Like, I know that money has strapped us, but, like, keep thinking about, okay, we've got Kenny. We have to pay him on the line.
Yep.
Right. We've got Dean Lowry. Like, is Kingsley Keke gonna, are they excited about him? Like, is he gonna
step up? The big question. That is it. Because I think I loved what I saw out of him last summer.
Yeah, he looked great.
Got on the field. And the limited times he did make the field during the season, I saw a lot of promising things. I don't know. Like, if that's the idea, you gotta play him over Lancaster. He's got to play more than Lancaster, because Lancaster played way too much last year, given what he was giving them. I loved his story 2 years ago when he's an undrafted guy, played really well. They clearly thought enough of him that they were comfortable cutting Mike Daniels, but then it just didn't happen. You didn't see any growth. You didn't see, if anything, he took a step back. They've got to get something out of Keke. And I think they have a player there. They just got to get him on the field.
His very limited snaps, he looked great. But again, it's hard to get any work in when you're not getting in there.
Don't play. That's the story of Rashawn Gary, right? I mean, everyone talks about, like, he didn't do anything. Well, he wasn't on the field. When he was on the field, I thought he looked good, but that's a problem for the coaches, and that's something they got to solve, because they got to get him on the field.
Well, Kyler Fackel's gone, so I expect that he will take all of his snaps, and I think that's the right decision.
Let me tell you, you haven't really lived until you've gone on WFAN here in New York, because the Giants have signed Blake Martinez and Kyler Fackrell, and had to maintain a level kind of evaluation of both players while, you know, you understand that New Yorkers are always excited to get new people, but, like, having to be honest about it. And, you know, Kyler Fackrell, I was very wrong about him 2 years ago. I thought they should have cut him, and then he went on to have his best season. But, you know, you're talking about the honesty of, okay, these are the limitations of their game. You just paid Blake Martinez how much money? Oh, yeah, we're getting a real productive guy. Yeah, but about that. Yeah, that's a good time. That's good times.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like a lot of this, like, Perry, to your point, was addressing the question of, like, none of us know how the front office feels about the roster that currently exists. So all of us as outsiders might think that interior defensive line is, like, the pressing need. Meanwhile, Brian Gutekunst is like, hey, Kingsley Keke is going to be the man opposite right. Kenny Clark. So why would we bring in somebody to take up all his run stuffing snaps when that's what we expect him to do? Same with Aaron's point about the cornerback. So it's really interesting for us as fans to have a perceived idea of where we think the needs are, when the front office could have totally different needs that aren't even on the same page as ours. Like, they could 100%. Think guard is a need, you know, and yep. It's like, wait, but we have Billy Turner and Elton Jenkins. And they're like, yeah, but did you actually watch, you know? So it's just,
did you watch Billy Turner? Oh my God. Oh my God. I will say, you asked, like, is there a free agent out there that we would like? Yeah. Snacks Harrison. That's it. That's the tweet. I want Snacks in the worst way. I wanted him last year when he was available, and they didn't, and Detroit got him, and now they've cut him, and please, Jesus, please bring Snacks to Green Bay. I think he would be, just think of the idea, all those double teams that Kenny Clark has to deal with instantly disappear on early downs because of Snacks. I mean, I would be so happy with that signing.
I'll take Snacks in a different capacity, because I only quarantined healthy food, and I am dying for, like, a
look at you, like, a well potato played. Chip. Look at you. What a segue. You're a true pro. That was incredibly well done. Well done. Good job.
Okay, one more question about interior defensive linemen. Would you bring back Mike Daniels? Aaron, nope. You go first. Nope. Okay, Perry, you go first. Or you go second.
Did we lose her?
Did Perry freeze?
Oh, no. We lost her. She's gone. She gone. She gone. So I will answer for her. No.
I would also say no for the record, but Perry.
Well, you know, Perry, it was a good run. But you've been replaced. Packs what she said with Maggie and Aaron.
At least she's smiling. She froze.
She's smiling on her face. Like, everything went dark. I don't know what's happening. Oh, well, we're getting her chats. That's good. That's good. All right. We should wrap it up anyway. That's probably.
All right.
That's a sign from the gods.
Yeah. I'm going to have. We'll see if Perry can come back because then she can give away her Twitter handle so that everybody knows where to follow her. But that can be its own separate thing. Can she rejoin or do I have to add her? Oh, there she goes.
Perry?
Life is so weird right now.
She's there!
Perry, you froze smiling.
Yeah, it was just like this big kind of smirk smile, just frozen in time. It's good.
I was laughing at Maggie Snacks' joke.
See, there you go, because it was a good one.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, we decided, you know, that we were going to wrap up and I was going to edit this whole episode, but I think I'm just going to leave it as one chunk and send it out into the universe because I feel like that's what we need right now.
I think our, like, just randomness right now is how everybody feels. So I hope they relate.
Yes. Don't you dare edit it. And don't edit it going forward. Just do this. Just put it on, hit record, talk, and then end, and then put it out there.
No, that's sometimes we say some... Sometimes weird.
No, I don't care.
You don't know how many times I say It's a problem.
It's not a big deal.
There are so many times where like I just stop talking and I'm like, I lost it.
She does. She'll look. And she'll be like, I'm gonna repeat content. That part of it.
She's like, okay. When you guys never know.
Don't you dare edit this.
When she puts the little Britney Spears mic down, it means she's serious.
Oh no.
See, it's up. She's ready to make a comment.
She did not say anything. And then she had to pull it down to defend herself. And now she can't even talk because she's laughing so hard.
I worry that it picks up like too much. Like if I always laugh at Maggie and I worry that it's like when it's this close to my face, like
there needs to be context. Because I always laugh at Maggie. That's rude. Well,
okay, can I say I love you guys. I love that I met you both separately, and I had ever met Maggie in person until I met her at Corey's house.
Yep.
Season. I met Perry. We met via Twitter, and then we met in person for beers. And I literally told Perry, I think that like an hour into our first meeting, I was like, okay, you got a podcast with us. Like, that was it. And then Maggie was going to do a podcast. And I was like, okay, these two have to podcast together. And you guys are great. Look at you. Like, I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Well done, Nagler.
Yeah. Aaron Nagler,
I don't do a lot right, but this one was good.
Tell the people that don't already follow you. I can't believe that there's one
you
person listening
started
to this.
This by saying you either love him or you hate him. So obviously people know who I am and they either follow me or they don't. I don't really care. They should follow you guys, and they should listen to you guys, because you guys are the bomb.
All right, Perry, where can the people follow you?
You can follow me at Goldstein Perry, and please follow Pax What She Said Podcast, PWSS Podcast, on Twitter.
Did you know that every time you say PWSS, I have to think about, because I always think it's PWWS, and then I realize that it'd be like Pax What? So every time you say it, it takes
That's a
me
good
a long
rebranding.
Time.
I like it. Pax What? I like it.
All right.
I'm not going to lie. I have to think about I always do myself first because I'm like, okay, Pax What She Said. So.
I love it.
All right. And you can
can't
find
wait till
me.
We can sponsor for this. And you guys are going to have to like be really diligent about it. It's going to be cool.
Yeah. But for now, we're just kind of, you know, flying by the seat of our pants because that's what we're best at. So you can find me on Twitter at Maggie J. Loney, LONEY. I also write 2 times a week for Cheesehead TV, and I podcast with the Pack a Day podcast crew. Thank you, as always, for joining us on the show. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack.
Woo!
And Jones, out in front. They're trying to chase him down. He's inside the 10, and he is in for the touchdown.
The title is...